In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today, we're going to reflect on the Assumption of Mary. Now, there's a vigil mass and a day mass. So, now we'll do the vigil mass. Next time, we'll do the day mass. I think that because of the readings as well, we should concentrate this time on, in this reflection, in part one, on the redemption of the body. Our bodies are eternal. In fact, without them, we're not fully human. And yet, God, in His mercy and love for us, wants to so penetrate our bodies down to the very depth of consciousness, what John Paul II calls our subjectivity. And so I want in this first section just to reflect a bit under the guidance of Pope John Paul II on the theology of the body, or better, if you will, the redemption of the body. Now, I'm going to be taking the material from the audiences in early December of 1981. You may remember how he gave all those talks on the theology of the body, and then they have been collected, translated, and we have them here. I'm going to start with this notion of Yes, I'll start here then. Where we have this notion from Luke 18 and elsewhere about the body and the redemption of the body. And he's got some very beautiful things to say. He bases most of it on the text in Luke Chapter 20, which is Luke's version of this discussion of resurrection, which is in all of the Gospels, but most pointedly, in a way, in Luke, which will be the Gospel. In Luke 20, starting in verse 27, we read, some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to him. Now, you remember the question. There were five brothers. Now, the Levirate law says that if a man dies, his brother should take the wife to be his wife, his second wife or whatever, so that he can raise up children for his brother's name and for his brother's property and so forth. And that was the Levirate law. And so the Sadducees, you see, who deny that there is a resurrection, said, you see, and he quotes this text from the Old Testament, Moses wrote, if someone's brother dies leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now, I'm sure you remember. Now, there were seven brothers, and they all married this woman and died, and none of them had any children. So, whose wife is she going to be now? And they thought they really got him stuck, you know. But the answer of Jesus, besides being, you know, so profound, is also very kind. Sadducees only recognize the divine authority of the Torah, of the first five books of the Old Testament. So Jesus takes an argument from the book of Exodus, which is Torah, which is so good of him. Says, the children of this age marry and remarry, but those who are deemed worthy to attain to the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead, not just, you see, the resurrection of the soul, the resurrection of the dead. And they can no longer die, but they are like angels. And they neither marry nor are given in marriage. Now, and he goes on, you see, to argue then from this text that the dead will rise. Even Moses made known in the passage about the bush, which is in all quoted, a little bit different in all three synoptics. Lord, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but of the living. For to him all are alive. Now some of the scribes said to him, Teacher, you have answered well. And they no longer dared to ask him any other questions. Very interesting. The kindness, this is the Son of God, deigning to argue with these people. And he's arguing from the Word of God, and he is the Word of God. Well, since they only accept the Torah, he argues from the Torah. And he takes this text from the book of Exodus, where God says he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, he can't be the God of the dead. They must be alive. And so he answers that question. But he therefore introduces the theme of what we're going to be reflecting on here, you see. I'm taking these, this line of argument right now, from the theology of the body, man and woman, he created them. It's the audiences of John Paul II, and they're this big. But if you get it, get this book, the new paperback translation, redone by friend of mine, I think I had him in class, Michael Wallstein. No, I didn't have him in class. I met him after he finished his doctorate at Harvard. He starts then, when they rise from the dead, they take neither wife nor husband. Christ speaks these words, which have a key meaning for the theology of the body. You see, so this assumption of Mary gives us an understanding of the eternal goal of the human body. It gives us a much deeper understanding of how to care for our bodies, care for ourselves in our physical dominion, the dimension. You can't be sexually irresponsible. You can't be food intake irresponsible, because this is eternal. And we have to be aware of that. Now I'm going to quote from the Pope a bit and then go on. All three synoptic gospels report the same statement, except that Luke's version differs in some details from Matthew and Mark. Essential for all three of them is the observation that in the future resurrection, human beings, having regained their body in the fullness of the perfection proper to the image and likeness of God, having regained them in their masculinity and femininity, will take neither wife nor husband. You get that from Luke 20. Luke 20 expresses the same idea. I'm sorry, that's from the other two, Matthew and Mark. This is Luke. Luke expresses this same idea with the following words. The sons of this age take wife and husband, but those who are considered worthy of the other world and the resurrection from the dead take neither wife nor husband. As is clear, the Pope goes on, the union in which, as Genesis says, the man will unite with his wife and the two become one flesh, the union proper to man from the beginning belongs exclusively to this world. But our bodies are eternal. And so, this whole section, I don't know if I gave you the number, I was reading from number 66 in this thing, you see, it is possible to say something more, you see. The statement allows us to understand a spiritualization of man according to a dimension that is different from that of earthly life, and even different from that of the very beginning, before there was no sin. And so, I'm moving takings because I want to move on. Let us attempt to understand these words of Christ about the future resurrection in order to draw a conclusion from them about man's spiritualization, different from that of early life. Here one could speak also about a perfect system of powers. You see, he's talking about the subjectivity, the indwelling Trinity, the very life of God himself, is what maintains us in life, body and soul, forever. The very divine life is at the very root of our being and permeates our subjectivity, our spiritual self-awareness, and through that, our spiritual gift of ourselves back to God. But with our bodies, you see, it's a human subjectivity. Therefore, it includes the function of the body, of the emotions, of the memory, because it is human beings who rise from the dead, not just spirits. This is why this is so important and why this Feast of the Assumption, you see, is the place where all this happens. Mary was raised, you know, from the dead already. Now you think, if the body is supposed to be a hindrance, she got gypped, sure, one better without one. No. Human beings are by their nature body and soul. They are soul animating a body. And so in the future, and this is the meaning of the Assumption, you see, in the future, the divine life at the very depth of our subjectivity is what preserves us in full, including physical existence, forever. And so you can see how important it is that we take care of our physicality. You know, I can remember there's a movie out called The Shoah, which means the destruction. It's a Hebrew word. And there was one scene there. It was all about the concentration camps and the destruction of the Jewish people and so forth in Germany. And there was one picture. It was sort of a documentary, if you will. There was a pile of human bodies, naked human bodies, about 15 or 20 feet high, two of them, stacked up like this, like cord, not even like cord, but just thrown on a pile. When I was looking at that in the movie, I just saw to myself, that is blasphemy. That is the degradation of the image of God. That is blasphemy.